The attack of the enemy is to get people distracted from the vision that God has outlined for them and for their life. Distractions of all kind. Every day, you're going to hit them.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive. We're glad that you've joined us today. In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today. Let's join it in progress, and I'll be back at the close of the program.
Let's go into the first part of a two-part series taken from a recent Wednesday night service here at Pace Assembly. This message is entitled Revision, Part 1. Let's go into the message with Pastor Rogers today.
Tonight, I want you to take your mind, and if the Lord would allow us time, I want you to take your mind and let's go into 2018. Because if the Lord tarries his coming, we're going to hit there, and change is a constant. I don't want anything to change. Well, I'm sorry, you changed from this morning. And some of us are glad. Come on, look at your neighbor and tell them thanks for taking a shower. So focus, and the attack of the enemy is to get people distracted from the vision that God has outlined for them and for their life. Distractions of all kind. Every day you're going to hit them. As I've told you before, that every individual in here on this planet will have some 3,000 impulses of images that you will hit every day. That's getting, you maybe don't even realize it, how much that you are interacting with things that are taking your attention away, from a sign to a phone to the car to whatever attention. Whatever you focus your attention upon, that's what becomes the mastery of your life, the focus of your life. So focus then determines your energy. What you put your focus on, you're going to give your energy to. And when things are broken, a broken focus, a broken vision, a loss of a vision, you wind up wondering and squandering, and what do I do? You know, sometimes people get up in the morning, they may have had a thought last night that they're going to do this tomorrow, but you know that by this time tomorrow, tomorrow morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, things could have changed throughout the night. You don't know. So you got to keep a focus and have a plan that is written out for your life. Vision is a glimpse then of our future that God has purposed for each and every one of us. And so vision requires a vital connection. I want you to get this right here. This is the focus of this particular lesson. Vision then requires a vital connection to the source, which is God. In other words, if you're going to have the proper vision for your life and fulfill the purpose of God for your life, then you must stay purposefully connected to the source who gives you the vision and the purpose of life. Anything disconnected from its source will die. Pull the plant out of the soil, and because it's disconnected from the soil, the plant will die. Same thing of anything that happens. You take the man away from nutrition, from the source, from the things that's necessary, and you will die. So the most frustrated person in the world is someone who has a dream but doesn't know how to make it come to pass. It's a frustration. Some of you are sitting here with dreams that you've had for years in your life, but because you don't know how to implement it or put it into motion, get some steps, goals that you can begin to accomplish, the poorest person in the world is a person who doesn't have a dream about their future. I'm telling you, God has not left you without a future. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us very clearly with that. So God designed you to stand out. He made every person unique. And you are not just someone who's lost in the middle of the high weeds, but God has uniquely, purposefully designed you to accomplish an assignment while you're here on this earth. Ever how long that you are here, it's important for you to understand that God made you a designer. So before you get worried about whether or not you're going to buy something at Macy's, just go home and look at yourself in the mirror and say, you are a one of a kind right there. Just one of a kind. So God has placed then within each person a vision. He's given everybody a vision that is designed to give purpose and meaning to your life. Jesus said in John 18:37, "For this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth." Jesus knew his purpose, and he knew the vision that was outlined for himself. It was clear. The reason for his life, the reason for his existence. There's plenty of people that could have distracted Jesus. You recall that Peter said, "You're not going to the cross." And Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." Judas comes along and says, "No, let's take over the throne. You got the power. Let's do it. This is the time to do it." And he said, "Friend," called him friend, called his enemy friend, called his friend Satan. Everybody's got an agenda for your life. And I want to tell you something. If you let everybody tell you what to do every day and you don't find out what God wants you to do every day, then you'll go in every other direction, and then you'll be years down the line wondering, why didn't I do what God called me to do? I've always wanted to do this. Well, that's something that needs to be explored, dug up. Find out what God wants you to do and accomplish it. It's a horrible thing for you to die without knowing what the meaning of your existence has been. Your experience in God makes your life, your purpose, your vision becomes clearer. So vision then comes from purpose. This is important. Vision comes from purpose. Say that with me. Vision comes from purpose. And only God then determines your purpose. Let me say it like this. The manufacturer is the one who designs whatever that it is. He said, "This is the way you use this. This is for this reason. This chair is not a hammer. This chair is not a saw. This chair is designed with a pad for you to sit in it and for you to be able, you can gang them together, but you can't use this for anything other than its purpose. Otherwise, it is abuse." That's the reason why anything outside of the design purpose of God, for instance, like marriage between one man and one woman, becomes abusive. So if you start trying to use something without knowing what its intended purpose is, you will fall and you will directly go into the abuse of that particular thing. You got child abuse going on. You got spouse abuse. You've got you could abuse your car for using it for, you know, "I'm going to run it into another car purposefully." Well, that's not designed for that, right? Your life is designed by God with a purpose and for a purpose, and only the manufacturer, only God can tell you what your purpose is. I can't tell you what it is. "Oh, Pastor, tell me what the will of God is for my life." I don't know what the will of God is for your life. You don't need a soothsayer. You don't need a horoscope reader. You don't need a palm reader. You need an encounter with God. Moses, first 40 years, there he is as the son of Pharaoh, and he's learning, whether he knows it or not, what is going to be necessary for him in the days ahead. But it won't be until another 40 years later before he gets to use the experience that he's had. But God was getting him designed and ready and prepared and educated. So then he winds up leaving and going 40 years into the desert. He gets out in the middle of the desert and he still doesn't know what he's supposed to do. He thinks he's a sheep herder at that point. He comes from being Pharaoh's son, goes into the wilderness without anything, on the run as a murderer, and thinks, "I'll just be a shepherd for the rest of my life." And then all of a sudden, here he is at year 80. Come on, somebody. At year 80, he finally finds out what his purpose in life is to be. Here he is tending the sheep and doing what God's called him to do, and he looks up on the mountain and sees a bush that is on fire but's not consumed. And he says, "I will turn aside. I'll set everything else that I'm doing aside and go see this sight. It's compelling me to come." Whatever's going on in that fiery bush, whatever's going on, I've got to turn aside from everything else that I'm doing and go find out what this bush and why it's on fire. When he gets there, he gets to hear the voice of God. The voice of God. Boy, it's a story. He gets to hear the voice of God, and the voice of God tells him through the explanation what he was born to do. "I want you to go in and be the deliverer for my people and tell Pharaoh, your family, let my people go that they may worship me. And I'm going to put my anointing upon your life. This is what you were born for, Moses. This is what you're supposed to do." You go in the authority of my called purpose for your life. I'm not coming down there and burning the bush up in Egypt. You saw this. You saw this incredible sight. By the way, take your shoes off, Mo. You're standing on holy ground. I want to submit to you tonight, he wasn't taking his shoes off just because he was standing on holy ground. He was taking his shoes off so that God could let him experience the power of God, but God was going to get in his shoes and walk him right back into Pharaoh's house and by the purposeful call of God, command the people to be turned loose by Pharaoh. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a little bit intimidating, except for the fact that when you've got God on your side and you know you're doing the work of the Lord, you better go ahead and do what God's called you to do. Whatever that is, whatever that is. So Ecclesiastes, here's a few scriptures for you real quick. Ecclesiastes says, in Ecclesiastes 3:1, God's given everything a purpose. You go home and read the rest of that. It outlines it. Psalm 33:11, but the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. In other words, God's got a plan, and it's going to be carried out. So here we are, years down the line, and God finally finds a president that will stand up and declare Jerusalem to be the capital of the nation of Israel, and the plans of the Lord stand firm, just like God said. Boy, it's exciting to be alive right now, isn't it? Especially when you know Isaiah 14:24, the Lord Almighty has sworn, surely I have planned. So God's a planner. I say God's a planner. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? So it will be as I have purposed, so it will stand. Write it down. God created you with a purpose and put vision then into your heart. Ecclesiastes 3:11. He has made everything beautiful, mature in its time, and he's also set eternity in the hearts of men. Now, this is important for you to get a hold of. He set eternity in the hearts of men. He set your future, the vision, inside of your heart. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from the beginning to the end. What is he saying here? He's saying God, by his design and purpose in every one of us, has put a future inside of us that keeps us compelled and called moving forward. Are you following what I'm saying? So he puts vision inside of us. So write this down. Your purpose then is already completed in God and revealed then by the vision that he outlines. Now, I'm not talking about you've got to sit around and call up, you know, some ancestor to get a vision. That's not what I'm talking about. God puts, so you understand you are created by God. How many of you know that to be true? All right, so you're created by God and you understand you are created for a purpose. Okay? Some of you know what that purpose is in your life. Some of you are walking and living and working in that capacity right now. Some of you just hold jobs, and then some of you are in your work. They can fire you from your job, but they can't fire you from your work. Because what you've been called to do, you've been called to do. And sometimes it takes a process for me to be able to get there. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This is important for you to know because everything that happens in the timing of the plan of God, just like I keep using this reference, but this waiver went in 70 years ago, but here we are 70 years later, and it's just now coming to pass for the nation of America and this proclamation. What's the big deal about that? The big deal is in God's perfect timing. When did Jesus come? In the fullness of time, God sent his son. Not 1 second before, not 1 second after. So he waited, for instance, until the Romans got together and said, let's pave some highways. What's the big deal about that? To speed the process of the gospel getting from one city to another, they paved the Roman roads. You got to understand that you're not just some protoplasmic blob of nothingness, but you were designed, created, and called by God, and he has placed the seed of your future on the inside of you. And that's what keeps waking you up at night and disturbing you from being in the status quo.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.